Welcome to Outlandish Voices, the podcast. I'm your host, Laura Gooden. Today's story is the first in an occasional series by young Wollongong writers. It's Whatever It Takes by Andrea Fernando.
To Vice Chancellor at harvarduniversity.edu, November 10, 2009. From Master 666 at hotmail.com. Subject, Best Proposal Ever. Dear Vice Chancellor, I know this is all of a sudden, but I have, after 15 years of research, made the ultimate scientific discovery. I have created the formula to clone people. Give me one person's DNA, and I can finally create an exact replica. Have a look at the attachment for the formal proposal for the grant. Master. Attached proposal .doc.
November 11th, 2009. Master 666 at hotmail.com. From Vice Chancellor at harvarduniversity.edu. Regarding Best Proposal Ever. To Master. The Board of Executive Grant Administrators at Harvard University have looked over your proposal. Due to ethical and moral reasons, we have rejected your proposal for funding. Though cloning is a breakthrough in the scientific field, your grant proposal has been declined in accordance with the National Moral and Ethical Guidelines for University Grants. No further review is possible, and it will not be placed on the waiting list. Yours sincerely, Vice Chancellor Joan Council.
November 14, 2009. This one email, these 77 words, created the apotheosis of sadness in my life. 15 years wasted. 15 years of traveling from country to country, carrying the equipment, evading the police. I could have been getting married, having children, experiencing life. I decided on that day that I would show them, no matter the consequences. I'll do it. Whatever it takes.
The threads of sanity were slowly slipping out of his fingers. He was heard crying at night, weeping quite like one would weep if a child had been wrenched out of their hands. Every change became more and more drastic. A sharpening of facial features, or an addition to the formula, meant that they would have less time to regather their thoughts and feelings, readying themselves for the outside world. They weren't told what to do. A chip allowed him to control them, for him to know where they were, and for them to know who they were. Without the chip, they would be nothing, with no memories, no past.
Dear Diary, I think he must have gone crazy. I understand that we are clones. The first ever scientific discovery, blah, blah, blah. But really, why make so many changes? Albert said that it's because he wants to make us perfect before he shows us to the world. Me and Charlie Chaplin think that it's just so we won't go out and leave him. Lol. I've been talking to some locals, and they say that all the time. It means laugh out loud. A lot has changed since 1945. I've become friends with Charlie. He reminds me of Peter. Not the romance, but someone I could really open up to. Albert and Master had the funniest fight today. Something about a bomb. But they pronounce it funny, like boom. And me and Charlie sat there laughing our heads off. Ta-ta for now. Anne Frank.
I won't be able to last much longer. The noises, the sounds, they're driving me insane. I tried to do it today, but Albert interrupted, beginning talk of some bomb.
We went out today into the real world. I saw some Jews walking in the streets, no star sewn to their coats. Disgusted with the world, I began to mutter to myself in Deutsch. But I was interrupted when an Asian man, whom I thought should have been gassed immediately, strode up to me, headstrong and head tilted high.
"You are Adolf, no?"
came a deep voice, almost like thunder. My head reached only to the pit of his elongated neck. His tall, muscular frame, long hair and beard curling like a snake, shook me to my boots, though I would never admit it.
Yes,
I stammered and tried to cover the fear in my voice with a gruff cough. I am indeed. He raised his hand testily, and I immediately reverted into army mode, ducking and flinching, bracing myself for impact. The expected force never came. Rather, a rumbling came from close by, startling me. I looked around to see the man's wide grin, belly trembling with laughter, his hand reaching out expectantly. I chuckled and stood up, grasping his hand and shaking it up and down.
My name is Genghis Khan. We shall be good friends.
I was rather disgruntled with the state of the world. Rubbish bags lined the gutters, not a single library to be seen, and the state of the greenery was atrocious. Whilst walking past a large stretch of water, I was reminded of my sea shoes. Oh, what lovely shoes! I do wonder what happened to my designs. As I reached into the water for a drink, I heard the chip in my mind telling me not to touch the water. Master came running and pulled me by the elbow from the riverbank. "What on earth do you think you are doing?" he questioned, his eyes full of menace as he stared into mine. "I was simply getting a drink, Master," I replied, hoping to soothe him with the tone of my voice, to ease the flame in his eyes. I knew of the gossip, that his sanity was precarious, a hair out of place on a clone causing him to cry in fury. "The water is polluted, Leonardo. You should know better than to do something that could sicken you. Imagine the repercussions." Polluted? Whilst I hastily searched my mind for the definition, Master turned on his heel and strode away. "Master!" He turned around in a visibly angered state. "Do you mean an undesirable state of the natural environment being contaminated with harmful substances?" He called out to me over his shoulder. "Indeed, Leonardo, it is caused by humans. I would have thought you knew about it in your time." With that, he continued to walk away, muttering to himself.
The science that Master used to create us is magnificent. He used complicated chemical combinations to create the chips within our bodies. I talked to him about his science, and he didn't seem very knowledgeable about it, though he was probably just shy. He told me that he had to venture to faraway countries to receive our DNA. Bloody Mary Tudor, the gossipmonger of the whole clan, told us that his business was all very shady. His parents were grave robbers, dug up human remains from cemeteries and sold them on the black market. She said that all he had to do was use their equipment and steal DNA from our graves. I'm not sure how I feel about master grave robbing, but in the name of science it may be acceptable. A few times when I went to visit, Albert was in master's laboratory, working madly. When I spoke to master, I asked him about whether my work had helped the world, and he seemed reluctant to answer. When eventually I probed it out of him, I was told that my work on radioactivity had helped build something called the X-ray, which could see bones through skin. He also told me that my work caused a war. I almost fainted with horror. How could the good I have done to help the world be transformed into a worldwide war? I discovered two elements, and the measure of radioactivity is named after me. He explained that one world war occurred after my death, and many civil wars, where they began to use radioactive bombs to destroy the DNA of thousands of helpless people. When creating the elements, my husband Pierre and I never thought they would be used for evil.
I am not a rumor monger. I simply enjoy telling others stories. Is that so wrong? So maybe I shouldn't have told Marie about Master being a grave robber, and I shouldn't have drugged him into telling me about it. I am simply a naturally curious woman. I began telling the young ones stories of my time. Leonardo, however, was convinced that I was fabricating the truth, and told them so. Now they have no trust in me, and follow him around. A shame, really. I was beginning to enjoy young Anne's company. Her loss.
Dear clones, I am sending you this voice message to your chips, and it is very important. Master has committed suicide and left a note telling me that the human race must be destroyed. I have a plan. All of the clones shall help in building a cage, a bomb shelter, in order to protect ourselves from what we must do. Much conversation has gone into this project, and not all agree. We have been in this time for a year, and the human race has destroyed, damaged, and dented the fine world we have tried to build. We will have to restart, allow the world to replenish its supplies before creating more humans to allow the world to continue. We have created a bomb that will wipe out the entire human race. It will spare the plants and animals and allow the world to regrow. The pollution will be ridden off by the gases in the bomb. Das ist alles, Albert und Adolf.
Dear Diary, a loud explosion shook the world on the 1st of January 2011, and I witnessed it. It killed every human on the face of the planet, and every human within a 500,000-kilometre radius of the Earth. We spent ages debating about their removal, and finally decided on a method called cremation. It's pretty much just shoving the bodies into a pit and lying them on fire. Slowly, as time passed, the Earth regrew, and us kids were able to play as we were able to in our first times. Then, about 500 years later, when the Earth had regenerated, animals and plants had been restored, Albert began playing God. Albert had taken 2 donations of male and female gametes prior to the bomb and fertilized them when the Earth was ready. We raised them as our own and placed them on the Earth, told them what to do and how to do it, and then we watched. You would think that just watching for over 2,000 years would be boring, but it's rather interesting. I've seen and learnt so much. I even got to watch a girl, quite like myself, surviving the war. Now, it's 2010 in their time. We've all cried in reminiscence, hoping, praying, that this time they don't stuff it up. Loving kisses, Anne Frank.
That was Whatever It Takes, written by Andrea Fernando and read by Houston Dunleavy, Laura Gooden, Margaret Dunleavy, and Andrea Fernando. It was produced by Laura Gooden. Original music by Houston Dunleavy. Find us on Facebook. Search for Outlandish Voices, the podcast. See you next time.